On Wednesday night, we were talking about Judge Not, and we went to Matthew. I'm just going to recap a little bit. We went to Matthew 7, 1 and 2, and I had mentioned that I often read the passage in Matthew 6, 25, and it says, also seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, and mentioned that we often will read it, all these things will be added unto you, or if you seek the world and his ways, and its ways, then all these things will be added unto you. But no, it's seeking his kingdom and his righteousness. Amen. It's not doing what we want to do. It's not doing it our way, so to speak. It's not continuing to do it in the ways that were taught to us in our past. But we've got to make sure that we have righteous judgment. We've got to make sure that we judge things according to God's word. And then there are many things that we don't judge because we've learned it's not our jurisdiction to judge. And the word judge means basically to try, to condemn, to punish, to avenge. And it's talking about a critical condemnation, because we read there in Matthew 7, 1, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. As parents, we should judge situations with our children. Judges in the natural, judge in the courts. Governing authorities judge. Pastors have to judge in their congregations. But we do so with righteous judgment, according to what God's word says and according to the leading of the Spirit. And we shouldn't go any further than that and say, well, their heart is this way, or, well, they meant this, just by worldly perception. But if the Spirit of God deals with me, their heart's not right, then that's one thing. I can judge according to what the Spirit is saying. But I can also put my opinion on it to what I think it looks like and miss it 100%. Because most people's heart is to do the right thing. Most people's heart is to be a blessing to the kingdom of God, but there's some blind spots that can trip them up. So I would need to judge that righteously. But that doesn't mean that someone in health ministry, we use the example, if someone's late all the time, or maybe if somebody's not doing their job, or they're talking back, because many times they were raised in doing that with their own parents and they don't realize that that's dishonorable. And if we continue to have that example, then it affects the others in the group. So there may be some consequences for those things. And at times we've even had to ask people to sit out of, and we wanted to just come to church, learn to have a right attitude. Well, praise the Lord. Sometimes people stick, other times they don't, because they have, for whatever reason, in their raising, they learned to just bolt when they came to correction. You understand? But there are situations that we need to judge righteous judgment. But it's only when it's within our jurisdiction or our authority, sphere of authority. It's only if it's solicited to us, but not about somebody else, but maybe somebody comes and said, hey, this situation, I have to make a decision. Can you help me in this? Now, I can give them understanding, possibly. I can speak some things into it. But at the same time, I have to tell them, you're going to have to pray. You're going to have to get it from God. You're going to have to go to the Lord and get the leading of the Spirit on that. If you have the Scripture on it, just do what the Scripture says. But in other words, but I'm not giving my opinions to areas that it's not solicited to. Somebody said to me after that service, I make a point now when someone talks to me about something, and I say, if I want to judge this situation or give my opinion, I say, do you want my opinion on that? And they said, most time the person says, no, I really don't want your opinion on that. And that's funny, but it helped them to just say out loud, do you want my opinion? Because they're used to normally inserting their opinion in their old way of thinking. So let's not just insert our opinion. In the Amplified, it says, do not judge and criticize and condemn others. So it's talking about speaking critically here. It's not necessarily talking about righteous judgment, right? And condemn others, so that you may not be judged and criticized and condemn yourselves. For just as you judge and criticize and condemn others, you will be judged, criticized, and condemned. I think we got it. And in accordance with the measure you used to deal out to others, it will be dealt out to you. So you would want to give people mercy and compassion. And I think most of us heard this growing up, but if you can't say it to their face, don't say it at all. Or if you can't say it in a right attitude, don't say it at all, even if it's to their face. So Jesus is talking about condemning or criticizing other people with our tongues, giving our opinions and putting other people's motives on trial. Because one of the definitions to judging is to give your opinion, call into question, opinion concerning right and wrong. So we just shouldn't do that. We shouldn't judge people's heart. Let the righteous judge do that. Now, if somebody just says, hey, I meant it this way, then we know their heart. there was a wrong heart motive in that, because they basically told us. But otherwise, we listen to the Spirit of God, or we just keep our mouths shut and we ask God how to handle it, again, if it's in our jurisdiction of authority. So John 7:24 says, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Yeah. Yeah. So we may think, we may perceive in the natural, based on what it looks like, based on all the evidence, but God knows better. He's a righteous judge. So we only judge according to his word, what's clear in the word that somebody should or should not do, or what the Spirit of God tells us. We do not judge by perception, but by the witness of the Spirit. We don't condemn, and we only judge with righteous judgment that is within our sphere of jurisdiction of authority, and we only judge with the help of God's word and the leading of the Spirit. We don't judge by worldly judgment or perception of what we feel, think, or see. We don't give our opinions that are not solicited, are not within our jurisdiction of authority, and that are not in line with God's words and leadings. So that's basically what I said in a nutshell. Leave the world's way of judgment, condemnation, and critical speaking behind, and become spiritually mature by thinking on what God's word says. In Philippians 3, verse 13, we read on Wednesday night, and I really encourage you to get that CD, because we're going to go a little different side of the mountain today. As I was getting ready, I was doing a part two of Judge Not, but it's going a little different than that. But we're just recapping what we said, because it'll help the rest of the sermon. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, Philippians 3:13, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Now, let me say this. When you've come to this church, you're going to come to light, and you pray for wisdom, you pray for light. So whatever thinking along the line of healing and health, whatever thinking along the line of even judgmentalism that you've learned in the past, whatever being critical, just being critical, did you know that if somebody's a certain place in faith and you're critical towards that level of faith that they're on, that God will judge you accordingly? In other words, we're not to judge where somebody else is in faith. As a matter of fact, we're supposed to hook up where they are in faith and meet them where they are, rather than say, oh, well, they shouldn't have to get surgery. Oh, they shouldn't have to go to the doctor. They shouldn't have to do that. That person is able to stand. They're able to be led by the Spirit. They're able to get it. And we're going to meet them where they are. Now, we encourage them, get in faith. Be speaking that God's power is working in you. But if you have a piece about going to the doctor, we'll go to the doctor. God gave us doctors. And some people learned in former churches, because some churches do teach this, you don't go to the doctor, you're in sin. That's wrong doctrine. And if you're coming to this church, you're going to continually hear that that's wrong doctrine. And you can either listen to that, or you can still be judgmental. But judgmentalism is judgmentalism. It is criticalness. So regardless of whether you think you shouldn't go to the doctor or not, if you judge your brother for going to the doctor, understand it is being critical of them. So we press forward. We leave the things behind. We leave wrong doctrines behind. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Or that word rule means boundary. Let us be of the same mind. And we're going to be talking about being one mind in the Lord today. Amen. Let us be of the same mind. In other words, there's a boundary of God's word that we renew our minds on and that gets down into our heart. And that boundary develops our heart. You know, some of you look so excited. You're kind of looking at the floor like, you know, if you let that face crack a little bit with a smile, and even get a little bit of a sparkle in your eyes like you're excited, you will get something today. I'm just saying, but I can't push it off on you. So, all right, just moving right along. So we don't go outside the boundaries of God's word and the leading of the Spirit in whatever we say and whatever we do. So that word mind means it's a mindset that lines up with the understanding of the heart. To exercise the mind, i.e. entertain or have a sentiment or opinion, but that opinion should be based on God's word, not on our past experience. Not on what men say, but what God's word says. And even when I said that don't be critical about somebody that goes to the doctor, you understand that going to the doctor or not going to the doctor is not what heals you. It's having faith in God's word. So I can pop a Midol, I can take some medication, I can even go to the surgery if I'm so led, and yet the power of God is still working in me. So don't get fuzzy in your thinking there. Just always say, and you may say, well, I, you know, if the power of God's working in me, why should I have to take vitamins? Why should you have to eat food? Why should you have to? I mean, let's get real crazy with that line of thinking. Why should we have to breathe air? Why should we have to drink water? If you're so spiritual that you don't need to take a vitamin, you don't need nutrition, then just cut out everything, all right? The power of God is an underlying factor and should be first and foremost in our life. And if that thought ever comes to me, well, what are you taking supplements? I just, the power of God's working in me. The power of God's working in me. But at the same time, when I eat my food, I pray over my food and I say, Father, in Jesus' name, I bless this food. It's health and nourishment to me. Amen. Leave critical speaking and the world's way of being judgmental in the past by renewing the mind and developing the heart to God's righteous judgment. We are supposed to be concerned with reaching out to others with the love of God, getting people saved, healed, filled, and prospered. And that's what we talked about. We're going to recap just one more scripture here. 1 Peter 4:7. 1 Peter 4:7. I'm not sure if we read this on Wednesday night, but it's along this line. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. So be serious about this. At the end of all times, we will give account to the Lord of what we were stewards to here on this earth. Verse 8, and above all these things, have fervent love. Notice fervent, not just love, but fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And we talked about this as a pastor, as bosses, as leadership. What we say to others should always impart grace. Is what we are saying about somebody else something that imparts grace, that is uplifting of that person, is being a blessing, so that the hearer would say, oh yeah, yeah, that's the way I ought to talk. That's the way I ought to do. I ought to talk right things about people. Or is what we are saying sowing seeds of not grace or ministering, but tearing that person down. And therefore, the person that is hearing, in the hearing of that, is thinking, well, it's okay to talk wrongly about somebody because my boss did it and I really respect them. Or my pastor did that and I really, and what are we sowing there? We're not imparting grace. But really what we are doing is imparting poison into the ears. We're giving our opinions on things. And we even got as simple as if we look at somebody's yard and their ornaments and their pink flamingos and their slideshows on the garage, whatever they like to do, if we speak critically about that, we're basically giving our breath of air to speak wrongly and to judge people's heart wrongly. Whereas, can we just allow somebody to do their house like they want without giving our opinion on the matter? We were walking through the house with a certain subcontractor, and they made the statement, I've never seen so many lights in a house before. I've never seen that. And our general contractor's wife spoke up and said, they can put as many lights as they want in this house. I'm like, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In other words, we ought to keep our opinions to ourselves. Because if we're speaking about the ornaments in their yard, we're eventually going to speak about the person. Eventually, and really we're judging them the way they're doing it because they're not doing it like moi. And we're trying to say that my way is better. We're shedding ourselves in a good light. We talked about that with our spouses. Do we put them down to shed ourselves in a good light? The Lord deals with me immediately. I've got to the place if I say something, he'll just say, hey, you put your husband in a bad light. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. To make yourself look good. So anyway, are we ministering as good stewards of the manifold grace of God? If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles or the utterances of God. Notice it said if we're being good stewards of the manifold grace of God, it says if anyone speaks, let him speak. So with the mouth, we can tear down or we can build up with righteous judgment or the utterances of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Is God glorified in your conversation? Is he glorified in what you say about others? Is he glorified in what you say and what you do? Because we have to get skilled in being right in these areas. Because it trips us up in receiving what truly our inheritance has given us in Christ. What we say, the heart motives of our heart trip us up in receiving. In other words, it affects your assurance of heart. You go to get something from God and you're like, Lord, what's going on here? Well, what about what you sowed into the body of Christ? Or what about what you said about your brother? What about your opinion that you just keep giving about that matter? We have to learn to be hospitable, which means to be friendly of mind. Remember, be of one mind. Be courteous. I believe one definition would be to be humble. Being kind is something we do with our spirit, with our soul, which is the mind, the will, and the emotions, and with our bodies. So godly kindness is a choice that can only come from a renewed mind, an understanding, heart of faith, and a body that acts in kindness. You need all three, your spirit, soul, and your body. Peter 3:8. Let's go there because this is going to be our main text today. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. So if you want to go there, that'd be good. I don't have a speaker to put my water behind anymore. Not that I want one. 1 Peter 3, verse 8. We have a lot of scriptures here, so we'll move along. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous. Now, notice something. If we're judgmental of somebody, we think they ought to be at a certain place of faith or what have you. Is that being tender-hearted? Is that being courteous? Is that being loving? You know, spouses, when somebody is dealing with symptoms, the last thing they need is your critical words. And God will lay it to our charge if that person even would go on to be with the Lord. And yet, He doesn't want us to be condemned, but at the same time, He will hold it to our charge if we did not use mercy. If we did not do everything we could to be helpful and tender-hearted and to help them because we gave our vows to do so. Well, why do you say that, Pastor Debbie? Because sometimes we can be hurtful to the ones we love the most. Sometimes we can expect more out of them than that's where they are in faith. And we can hold our Bibles up to them as a whipping post and say, you ought to be here in faith. Is that tender-hearted? Is that courteous? That person needs our love. They need our tenderness. Judgmentalism is not going to help them laugh. But I will say this about the person, if you're in that situation, stir your joy up. Choose not to be beat down by somebody else's judgmentalism. Amen. Choose to walk in love regardless of what somebody may say and do. And choose to believe the best of that person, that that's probably how they were raised, therefore that's how they're acting, but they really do love you if you're in that situation. Because that's what love does. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling. You know, I'm able to talk this way to my husband. And there are children here, so you understand I want to say this in the right way. But there can be certain times of the month. And I would say, you can make it easier or harder for me. Because frankly, at this point in time, I just want to slap someone. Because my emotions are involved. You can make it easier, you can make it hard. You can help me become more skilled. And walking in love. But I'd rather you just made it easy for me. So we talk to one another that way. Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. And that means humble, be humbled, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. And so we're talking about being one mind in the Lord here. And a definition for evil is evil, bad, noisome, worthless, wrong, wicked, troublesome, injurious. So I guess I like to read it this way, not returning injury for injury. And the word reviling means abusive talk, to reproach, rail at, heap abuse upon, slander. So not returning slander for slander. Not returning abusive talk that is injurious to somebody for abusive talk. So, but on the contrary, blessing. Knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Now understand that we've already inherited blessings, but we can allow things to hold us off from those blessings. How we treat the rest of the body of Christ and how we treat the man that God made, the men and women that God made, whether they're a Christian or not, can affect the assurance of our heart. If we don't treat them in love, if we don't do our best to walk in love in a situation, even in a situation where somebody may be a Christian, but they're a nominal Christian, not walking in love themselves, or if somebody's not a Christian, you may have a boss, and they don't treat you right. But you choose to walk in love anyway. You choose not to slander. You choose not to revile. You choose not to talk about them. And therefore, your heart is saying, I can have faith. I'm assured that I've been walking in love. I'm assured that I'm showing my maturity in Christ. I'm assured that I'm showing the love of God coming out. Yes. Amen. Amen. Because we're to be a light to the world around us. Amen. For the eyes of, well, let's back up here. He who would love life, there in verse 10, and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Remember righteous judgment? Yeah. And his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil or who will injure others. Amen. Especially at the expense of making themselves look good. And if we back up, and his lips from speaking deceit. And deceit means to delude, allure, beguile, entice. And I wrote this down. When we are speaking deceitfully, we are enticing someone else to do the same. We are alluring or bringing someone into yielding to evil speaking and doing deceitful acts themselves. So when we speak deceitfully, we deceitfully train others. We train others in being deceitful, is what I'm saying. They can choose not to yield to that, or they can yield to that. Being of one mind in the Lord. And really, of course, this is talking about Peter is talking to those in the house of God, but he's also talking about families. He's talking about in your workplace, wherever you're at, be of one mind. But if someone else isn't of the same mind, you make sure that you keep of the same mind with what God's word says. A renewed mind and a developed spirit. That's what being of one mind means. One mind, the definition there in the Greek, means harmonious, like-minded, concordant. So we concordant in Acts. It says, Acts 2:1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. In other words, they were in unity. They were in harmony there. They were doing what the Lord told them to do. Stay there in the upper room until the Spirit of God's come upon you. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And I like to say it like this. When we're in one accord, then that's when we can truly have revival in our midst. When we're in one accord, that's when we can truly see things change in our personal lives. If you want to live the same level that you're at, then just keep doing what you're doing. But if you want change, go to working on your unity. Go to working on your love walk. Go to working, because the New Testament command is walking in love, believing on Jesus and walking in love. And it's one in the same. We can't believe. Faith works by love. If there's something not working in your life or you need to grow, which we all do, just continue to work on your love walk. Continue to work on being merciful. Continue to work on being loving and kind and tender and not speaking or not reviling for revile. Even in the local church, somebody says something wrong, understand they may be having a bad hair day. They may have a situation at home that you don't understand. Look at it in the light of being able to minister to them, take them aside and say, hey, I'll just be honest, you've been a little harsh today about some things, but can I agree with you on something? Can I pray for you about something? Maybe they don't receive that. Maybe they're just a young Christian, so you wouldn't say that. So you go, you just pray for them. You just pray for them. But there comes a time and a place where we're going to have to be a better example as we grow up in the Lord. A lot of people come and they want to be in Helps Ministry and they're excited about it, but they're young people in the Lord and they get in that group and they see others, the way that they're reviling one another, the way that they're talking behind their back and in the local church. And it turns them off. They were excited about being in that place. And maybe that person isn't working as hard because they went there, they want a fellowship. So We've got to give them a break. We've got to train them. But we've also got to be an example as mature Christians in how we treat others, what we talk about. We really ought to keep our speaking to what the plan of God is. What's Pastor talking about? Let's talk about what God is doing wonderful in my life. If we need something, hey, will you all agree with me? And in that speaking, that's righteous. That's righteous. Amen. So being of one mind in the local church is talking about a congregation of believers who think like God thinks. They become skilled in His Word and the move of the Spirit. They are in unity of faith, walking in love, responding to the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and passionately pursuing God's plan to be a spiritual house and to seek and save the lost. Yes, I will read that again. I heard that. They became skilled in His Word, the move of the Spirit. They are in unity of faith, walking in love, responding to the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and passionately pursuing God's plan to be a spiritual house and to seek and save the lost. And if that's what our mind is about, if that's what our heart is set on, we don't have time to think about what everybody else is doing wrong to me. They're not reaching out to me in love. Well, what are you doing to reach out? And I encourage parents, don't placate to that. Don't harbor that. Don't teach your children, if they come to you and say, well, so-and-so didn't reach out to me in church today, you turn it back on and say, what did they do? Or what did you do to reach out to them? Many people that say that leave a church because so-and-so's not reaching out to them don't even go talk to so-and-so about it. So if we're not big enough to go talk to somebody about, okay, do you have a problem with me? Then basically we're in perception. And it's perception of an opinion that is not righteous judgment, but it's coming from our own judgmental heart. They're not there for me. Well, who are you there for? We're all at different places in the local church. So be an example of walking in love. Many of us have been to 20 different Bible schools. We've got so much word in us. We've got train loads of faith. And yet one person says something to us and we're ready to bolt out the door. Don't placate to that. Oh, honey, I know they should do better. Don't go there with them. You turn it around and say, look, you need to just stop it. You need to cut it out. And you need to reach out to people. You need to walk in love. You know better than that. You're just, you know, is this just a reason for you to bolt from the church? What is it? I start to say, this is a reason to bolt, but that's judging their heart. You ask them, where's that coming from? Where's that coming? Well, so-and-so. Well, walk in love with so-and-so. Walk in love. Don't let anybody drive you out of the local church that is your supply. And that doesn't mean you stop praying for them every time you see them. You turn your nose up to them. It means you pray for them more. It means that you pray the Ephesians prayers for them more. It means that when you see them, hey, can I give you a hug? And that's what pastors do. Amen. Well, moving right along. A church that is of one godly mindset will be an avenue God can use that fires the flames of revival throughout the earth. Through consecration, skilled faith, daily prayer, and continued response to the move of the Holy Spirit. But if a church has to deal with not fires of revival, but fires of contention, well, that's a whole other thing, isn't it? Yeah. This takes having a sound mind, developing a strong spirit. And I say that over and over, but that's what it takes. Spiritual growth, having a healthy body. We all should have renewed minds and understanding hearts to what the Lord, of what God says and of what the Spirit is saying through the pastor to the local church. We should honor what the pastor is saying in the local church. We've been talking about consecration because our pastor has been talking about consecration. We've been talking about not speaking wrong. We've been talking about honoring the pastor. If God's brought you to this local church, just like you would honor your boss at work and not speak about them, because that's who's giving you a paycheck. Hebrews 10:19, and one of the base words of being of one mind means of persons assembled together. Yeah. Of persons assembled together at the same place or time. So we read Hebrews 10:19-25. Is anybody hot in here? Is it just me? We're a little hot, but you know, don't go overboard on me. Verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance. See, we should be able to draw near with a heart that's fully assured because we're walking in love and we're believing in Jesus' name. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider, and before I go on to the rest of that verse, the word consider means to observe, understand, consider attentively, fix one's eyes or mind upon. Be of one mind, consider this, in order to stir up love and good works. See, oftentimes we read verse 25, but we don't read the rest of it. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. If we're not consistently attending a local church, if we're allowing distractions to constantly keep us out, then he's saying, don't follow that example. But exhorting one another is so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day approaching? Where we'll be judged with righteous judgment. So what Peter quoted from the Psalms there in 1 Peter 3 was came from Psalms 34, 12 through 14. Psalms 34, 12 through 14. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Seek peace. Don't seek judgmentalism. Don't give people the cold shoulder. Amen. Seek peace. Pursue that, regardless of what people have done to you. Amen. Being of one mind in the Lord is directly tied to walking in faith and love and flowing in the peace and the joy of the Lord. Amen. Peace is overall prosperity or well-being for the spirit, soul, and body. And notice, one definition for peace is prosperity. And we read in 3 John 1, 2, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. God expects us to have strong, renewed minds, strong spirits that will dictate to our bodies and healthy bodies. Amen. And let's go ahead and read a definition there for peace. It means rest, quietness, by implication, prosperity. A state of national tranquility, exemption from the rage and havoc of war. It's really the opposite of yielding to the emotions, so to speak. Now you can see, peace will anchor the soul. Peace will anchor your emotions. You can be excited. You can, but that's the rejoicing side of the emotions. The other side of it is you understand? Where we're listening to the spirit of fear, we're allowing unrest, we're allowing oppression of mind. That's the opposite of what he means by peace here. And it also says peace between individuals. Well, harmony, a concord, there we go. Security, safety, prosperity. Messiah's peace, the way that leads to peace, salvation. The tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. And so fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot of whatsoever sort that it is, that blessed state of devout and upright men after death. So peace is an anchor of the soul. It anchors our mind, our will, our emotions. Peace is a fruit of our human spirit that starts out as a seed, but it grows. Amen? It anchors our soul. The strong spirit of the man is keeping the carnal tongue and the unruly emotions under and dictating righteous acts. Our spirit says, body, you're going to be righteous. Yeah. Amen. You're going to walk in love. You're going to act like you love. Yeah. No matter what you feel like. Yeah. We don't follow offense that disrupts the unity of being in one mind and one accord. Unrest and offense that disturbs unity is rooted in listening to a spirit of fear and yielding to anxiety and upheaval of the soul. It's rooted in years of allowing the soul to dictate, I'm depressed, I'm oppressed, and I'm in unrest. We walk in the realm of peace and joy and stay above that realm of negative thinking and feeling. And we react, stay above that area of negative thinking and feeling and reacting with the emotions and carnal flesh. We react righteous. We train ourselves. We become skilled to do so. In Romans 14, verse 17. Romans 14, verse 17. Is this good?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, the things by which one may edify another. And we could go to that place. Really, Paul is talking about there, if what you eat and what you drink is causing others to stumble, then you shouldn't eat and drink that. You know, if somebody's on a diet, well, you may not take them to some place that's serving, you know, all-you-can-eat buffet. You may want to take them to a soup and salad place. Help them out a little. You understand? Let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things which we may edify one another. So, and again, it could also mean that we are looking at what level of faith they're on and we're hooking up with them there. We're not judging them where they are in faith. We're not trying to tell them, if you were in faith like me, you could get it. Well, that doesn't help anybody. But we help them. We read the word to them. We pray for them. Amen? Walk in love to them. Give them, you know, for husbands and wives, just give them extra kisses and hugs. And especially somebody that's dealing with symptoms. That's what they need. They don't need us pushing them away and saying, well, if you walked in faith. And it's kind of like the man that says to the woman, if you'd only lose weight, I tell you I love you more. What's wrong with that scenario? If I were really walking in my carnal flesh, I'd go get a frying pan, wait till they get home at night, and hit them over the head with it. And tell them, okay, you want to tell me about losing weight again? But I'm not going to do that. But I will lovingly say, because I'm not a doormat, I will lovingly say, you leave my weight to me, I'll answer to the Lord. And you can answer to the Lord for your own body. But all that candy you eat when I'm not looking, or whatever. All right? I'm just using an example. I'm not necessarily saying that that's what Pastor Jay and I are dealing with right now, because we're really not. Okay. Let us pursue the things which may... In other words, there's something in our life that we can work on. So let's get our nose out of somebody else's business. Men, you're not going to be able to fix everything for your woman, okay? You understand that? Women, you're not going to be able to change everything in your husband. Let God deal with them. Philippians 4, and I'm going to read a couple scriptures here because this speaks for itself, and we're going to be wrapping up. Philippians 4, verse 2, I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. There we go, the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. So that's a little bit different definition of being in the same mind, but it means a mindset. Again, it lines up with the understanding heart. It's the same definition of mindset that it says in Colossians chapter 3, setting your affections or your mind on the right things. Amen. So he's saying there, be of the same mind. And he continually says this over and over through the scriptures, through the epistles. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I said rejoice. Remember peace and joy? Be anxious for nothing. In other words, don't allow your soul to dictate to you. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Because the peace of God, it rises from within, and it's an anchor for the soul. It's an anchor for your emotions and your mind, but your mind will not understand. So it surpasses the understanding that the mind does not have. It surpasses that. Your mind needs to be in agreement with the understanding of the heart. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, or it means honorable, whatever things are just, or that means righteous, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of oppression will be with you. No. The God of peace. So if we have oppression in our mind that we've allowed it to there, but it's not from God, it's from that spirit of fear talking in our ear, but we can't be allowing that to have control. We have to use our faith. We have to use our authority. Tell it to get out of here. Shut up. And we get in the scriptures. We renew our minds. We develop our hearts. We talk the word constantly. And we act with our bodies. You can't stand there like this and walk in love. You have to do something. Your mouth has to say something. Carla, I love you. I really do. I love you. Praise the Lord. I love you, Sandra. You're such a blessing.
Amen.
Love you, man. Love you. Yeah. So again, here, let's Philippians 2. This is a long one, but it's good. Philippians 2, verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Amen. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also is highly exalted. And let me just say something. We're going to have to die to ourselves to the point to where if we want to say something adversely, if we want to be critical, our body's going to, we may shake, literally, because we got to shut it down. We may feel the effects, just like Christ felt the effects of going to the cross on his soul. You understand? But we shut it down, and then we'll get the reward. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, those in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. So I would ask you, as your pastors, not just in our presence to follow these things, but in our absence, in your homes, in your workplaces, in wherever you're at, would you represent God the Father? Would you represent your local church? Would you represent Christianity in the right ways? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. It's Him who works in you, but we have to work it out. Remember how Pastor so eloquently said that? But we do it by faith. God is, and His Spirit, we talked about that on Wednesday night. His Spirit is there to help us. His grace is there to help us get through, but He's got to have something to work with. In other words, He's not going to hit us with a help stick. We have to renew our minds and develop our hearts. We have to use our faith. We have to give Him our mouth and our actions to work with. We've got to give Him our heart and our mind.
Amen.
He's not just going to say, okay, say help, and then He's just going to walk in faith for us. That's not how it works. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. Will you sincerely care for the state or the spiritual state of your departments in this local church? Will you sincerely treat it right and be like-minded and judge righteous judgment? For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know His proven character, that as a son with his father, He served me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send Him at once as soon as I... And I would like to say this. Paul said, for all seek their own, but obviously Timothy was not seeking his own. So what I say, we have the ability not to seek just our own. We have the ability to lay it down. We have the ability to change out our mindsets from yesteryear. We have the ability to do the right things. We have the ability to talk right. We have the ability to rise up and fulfill the call of God and straighten our tie, so to speak, and say, line up with the Word of God. We have the ability to do it. Or we can just go home and keep doing what we're doing without renewing our minds, without making the changes, and go our own way. Well, Pastor Debbie, that's kind of stiff. Well, that's what the Word says. Being stewards, because we'll answer to Him one day. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. I think I changed the scripture on you there. Let me see. Yeah, Romans 12:9. Romans 12:9. Should have just got it by the Lord. Just kidding. Romans 12:9. And this is the last scripture I'll read. But scripture after scripture after scripture, we see along this line. Let love be without hypocrisy. In other words, don't let it be false. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Seek serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Hold on, Pastor. Hold on. That's enough. Patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints. Giving to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. You can do it. We can do it. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Don't blow a gasket, okay? Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And let me add another line to that according to the scriptures, in line with the scriptures. You may be heaping coals of fire in his head, but that's not your motive. Your motive is love. It's like, well, I'm going to walk in love with him, so heap some coals of fire on his head. Stand up, please. So we've learned not to judge. We've learned to be of one mind. We've learned to stay in our jurisdiction of authority. And if we are to judge, then judge righteously, with righteous judgment, which is according to the Word of God and the leading of the Spirit of God. Don't grieve the Holy Ghost, who's within us. But be of one mind. I said, be of one mind. I want to read what the local church is one more time, because that was good. Well, anyway. Being of one mind in the local church is talking about a congregation of believers who think like God thinks. They become skilled in His Word and the move of the Spirit. They are in unity of faith, walking in love, responding to the anointing of the Holy Spirit, passionately pursuing God's plan to be the spiritual house and to seek and save the lost. And then we read, a church that is of one godly mindset will be an avenue God can use that fires the flames of revival throughout the earth. Through consecration, skilled faith, daily prayer, and continued response to the move of the Spirit. And we said, we flame. He uses us that fires the flames of revival, not the flames or the fires of contention in the local church. So that we can get something done around here. If we're around putting out a bunch of fires, somebody not walking in love here, somebody not walking in love here, if our staff has to be dealing with that all day long, then somebody that truly needs us, that call, and we get people, they call up and they, hey, I'm dealing with this, will you agree with me in prayer? We're going to the hospitals, reaching out to people. There's things to do around here. And I would much rather use my time to minister to people like that than to have to put out fires of contention. Especially when the Bible is line after line after line after line after line. But we need to teach on these things. We need to remind each other. But I can't do it for you. I can't do it for myself. So let's work on these things. Let's be a church that's like-minded, that, like Peter said and like Paul told, be of one mind in the Lord. Amen.